Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, I have my very special guest, Connie Solera. She's one of my, not oldest, my longest clients that I've been working with for years. We actually met at a yoga teacher training 7 years ago. And so today we're going to be talking about this idea of purpose-driven entrepreneurship, which I think, Connie, you embody so well. So can you share a little bit about who you are, what you do, and what your business is all about?
Sure. Well, my name's Connie Solera, as you know, and I'm an artist and a teacher and a writer, I guess you could say. And I mostly run online programs and I take women, mostly painting all over the world. So I've been taking them to Mexico and Costa Rica and I'm going to Sedona this year. And I just signed up to go to Ireland in 2020.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think my peeps even know that yet.
So, oh.
But now the cat's out of the box. Yep. And I also run a program that Quinn has been so influential in is 21 Secrets, which has been a huge program. And it's been going for almost 10 years where I hire other artists to teach workshops around mixed media. And then I also run a mentoring program called Ignite and some other online painting courses.
So many things.
Lots of things. I do a lot of stuff and somehow you always keep it going for me.
Oh, well, I'm happy
or kind of help keep track of it for
me. So. Well, I guess speaking of hashtag all the things that you have going on, do you find that there's some kind of common thread that connects them all? Is it, you know, this idea of purpose or is this idea of who you're serving? Like, what is that thread for you?
Well, for me, it's absolutely about being who you uniquely are as an artist. And one of the brands that I have as part of my business is called Fearless Painting. And it's all about really being, like, owning who you are as an artist, where you are in your development. So, like, I work with artists that are all the way from, you know, seasoned artists that went through art school to newbies. And my mission as a teacher is to help them truly be who they are and, like, kind of scratch away any of the conditioning or training they got and get to the essence of it. So a lot like what you do, as you're, you know, but in design work.
So where do you think that comes from? Like, personally, do you have experiences that have helped you kind of step into your own creativity? Or, like, why do you care so much about that?
Well, that's a good question. There's a lot of reasons. Mostly because I really believe in artists. And ever since I was young, I've been lucky to always know I was an artist. And I was lucky to come from a family that supported that.
That's important.
You know? So a lot of my clients, you know, had somebody in their past that was either a parent or a relative or a teacher that kind of like strayed them away. You know, and so I was lucky to have a family that supported it. They might not have fully understood it, but supported it. And so I just kind of really came away with loving artists and believing that it's possible. And so when I work with my students, that's the thing I really want them to feel is that this is totally possible and this is like your calling. That being an artist is not something that's cookie cutter. And, you know, when you figure out what it is that calls you to be an artist, like not just even how you make your mark or create stuff, but like what your interest is, what you're curious about, what, like, you know, I remember when I was young, I was in art school. This is kind of silly, but this is the best example. I was so into the color green. Okay, like super, super, super. And then I went to this concert, and the whole concert, they like put all these green lights on. I was like, oh my God, this is the most amazing thing.
Yeah.
For a whole year, all I did was paint green stuff. And I was so in love with it.
Right.
I sold so many paintings. It was the first time.
People
loved it because I was like, oh my God, do you know what green, blah, 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 blah. I could talk so much about green, and other people got hyped up and all excited on green. Right?
Because they sensed how passionate you
were. How passionate I was about the color. Green, about the color. And what I did when I went to that concert is I saw how it felt to be in all that green that I painted. I was in my kitchen. I put all these canvases around and tried to recreate that. And then people like got that. They felt that. And that's what we do as artists. Like, we transmit that incredible energy you have inside you, that passion, that excitement for life or whatever it is you're interested in. To others. And so that's, I think a lot of artists think, you know, they have to be this or do this. Right. And I think, nope, if you just go out there and like love green, people are going to get it, you know?
Like turquoise, that's my color.
Yeah, me too. I'm kind of far now, I'm way far, it's more purple.
Yeah, purple, black and white.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, so you mentioned, the cookie cutter experience that you've come to know as many people's idea of how to become an artist. Like, mm-hmm. I think we've spoken mm-hmm. before about, mm-hmm. you know, there's this expected path. Like, mm-hmm. you go to art school, you have your green period or whatever, and then you go to galleries and have exhibits, and then you start selling custom work and commission. And there's, like, almost like a journey that's expected of artists, mm-hmm. which is kind of weird because artists shouldn't really be expected of anything. So do you find that your process, that your fearless painting and everything you do, is that more about providing a framework for the people that work with you so that they can find their own path? Or how do you help them not follow the cookie cutter and be authentic to themselves? Like, what are the techniques?
So that's really awesome, because when I started out in my 20s as an artist, I followed that path. I went to art school. I got a degree. I did, like I used to say on my website, I did everything a good artist should do, right?
Yeah.
And so I did, you know, I worked in galleries and all this stuff. But the funny thing is, I would make a body of work, artwork that I knew and kind of hoped would be accepted in the galleries and be marketable. But I would go into my studio and make tons and tons and tons of artwork that was for me, that I loved, like that it was made me so happy. Right? And that stuff, like, a couple times I have gallery owners come and they would look at it and they're like, they weren't so into it. But the other stuff, because they can market it. And it wasn't until the internet, to be honest, like, until I started blogging, until I, you know, long, long time ago now, you know, that I started to create kind of a little bit of a community online, that I thought, wait a minute. I actually thought, I was like, what would happen if I stopped trying to make stuff that I think is going to sell and just, like, pour myself into what I love, right? And it was incredible. It's like my business, my career shot through the roof, right? So my whole kind of philosophy or mission to help others actually comes from my own experience.
Right.
And so I don't have any formula or techniques to tell them other than, like, really trust where you're being called. Like, really trust what gets you excited. Really trust. And for some artists, really, honestly, being in a gallery, doing all of that, like, thrills them and makes them,
you know, that's totally cool.
Yeah. And that's not my gig. And I tried it and it's just not. And it was like scratching, you know, against a grain that it didn't work so well for me. And it wasn't until I really allowed myself to be myself as an artist that I could find my niche or find my rhythm to how to express that.
Yeah, and it sounds like that's really how you help the women you work with, is to tell them, hey, follow your curiosity, follow what you're interested in, follow what piques that little thing inside of you. And I think that's just such an interesting thing, especially for any entrepreneurs who are watching, is just follow what you're curious about, see where that leads you, and maybe don't expect a certain result. And I think artists are really good at that, in terms of, hey, I'm really interested in green right now. Let me just, like, create a whole body of work around that. And I don't know where this is going to lead me, but this is what I feel called to express.
Yeah, I think learning art helps you practice those muscles for sure. I think there's still struggle and pressure to do it correctly or try to follow. Yeah. And there's a lot of society pressure around that as well. And that's why I think it's also, as well as following your curiosity, but to be smart, and you teach me this through the years we've known you, is to, like, gain other skills that, like, are necessary. Like, you still need to kind of learn how to draw or how to paint or do things, like, to further your craft.
Right.
You know, like, the practical things. It's not like you throw them through the, you know, out the window. They're still important. But following, like, really trusting your own path, I feel, is the key to success. And I think that's been my key to success as an entrepreneur, because I have that same kind of, like, desire to just follow that thread.
So we're talking about the creative process of art and how that relates to entrepreneurship and how you've built your business. So How do you make decisions in your business? Because I think this is a continual conversation that you and I have had anytime we talk about branding or web design or anything in your business. And I'm just curious about what process you go through internally to come to a decision.
Winster.
And so, then change that decision 10 times and then come to another decision.
So this is why I'm laughing, because probably out of my whole, 10 years of being in business, Quinn has seen the most of me. Like our relationship is so vulnerable, at least for me, because you see my creative process.
Yeah.
And I wish I could tell your lovely viewers that it's nice and neat and tidy, but Quinn will attest that it is not anywhere
near
that.
That's how I like it, though.
Yeah. Well, so for me, I've learned over the 10 years especially that I'm this huge visionary. Like, I can envision where I want things to be, how I want it to be. I can envision this huge dream world, in a sense. And then what happens is I get really jazzed about that, and then I have to chip away at it.
Oh, and like bring it back down to
kind of bring it back down a little bit, you know. But then what happens is I really have to sit with things for a while, and I almost have to kind of move in that direction to reel it. We might need to go.
You kind of have to, like, test it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I kind of test.
Yeah.
Kind of, not like put programs out and take them off.
No,
I'm not talking that, but there's so much back and forth. I never make just a decision and say, okay, I'm going to do this.
Right.
And now we're going to move forward. And as Quinn knows, like, I will say, okay, I have these great ideas, I'm going to do this. And then, like, maybe a month later, I'm like, we might hold off on that. Or we might do this. So, for example, the best thing is the branding.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's been, like, a 3-year conversation. And it's still ongoing.
It's still ongoing.
But I feel like recently you came to a point of finding clarity.
Huge amount. And it needed those 3 years of realizing, like, 3 years ago I knew something is shifting.
Right.
Something's changing and evolving. Because it's not just me. It's also, like, the relationship you have with your market or your students and, like, what their needs become. Like, you grow and your market grows and all of that. So, like, trying to figure that out and also being true to myself. Like, what do I really want to do?
Yeah.
And also, I built a business not really thinking long term.
Mm.
I just thought, this will be fun to do, and this will be fun to do, and this will be, and then I had all of this stuff, and I was like, shit.
Yeah, you've got like all this inventory almost.
Yeah. Yeah. And it no longer, a lot of some of it, as you know, like, didn't fit anymore. Like, here we are 10 years later, and it doesn't resonate like it did at one other time.
Yeah.
So for me, to be honest, I need time to keep going back and forth, and I need the safe space that you create where you, I don't, maybe you do, but I never feel judged when I'm like, okay, Quinn, we're not going to do this.
Or
Quinn,
I feel like I usually come to expect it, you know, in some form. Yeah. Like, not in a bad way.
No,
I just like know that that's how you work, and we work together so long that you put out an idea and I'm like, hey, Connie, you go think about it and, like, come back before I write up a contract or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I just know that's your process and it's different than my process.
Yeah.
But I think that's what makes you successful in your own right. Like, and not by the trappings of what we normally call successful. It's the fact that you're continuously building your business in the way that feels authentic to who you are. And you don't always know
exactly
what it's going to be. You know, you're like consistently figuring it out along the path.
Yeah. And the one thing too, so, I was going to say to you, I just lost my train of thought.
Oh, no worries. That happens to me all the time.
So for example, too, I need a lot of space.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what it was. I was going to talk about this clarity. So, like, it took me a long time to just get clarity on really what I want to do. And what it took is, like I went on vacation. And a lot of times I have to go, and I saw you do this with your business. I have to go away from my normal environment. Even if it means, like, renting a hotel for just 2 days in Sedona.
Mm.
But, you know, I had to go to Mexico. And as I told, remember I told you, I'm like, I told my husband and son, I was like, you see those boats? I'm going to swim past those boats and nobody bother me for the day. I'm just going to lay. And I literally had to float there and let go of everything to just kind of, like, hear, like, yeah, do this, don't do that. And it sounds kind of woo-woo, but for me, I really have to, like, kind of escape to get the full picture. And then also, like, one of the things I also believe in that I teach in my training, my mentoring, I mean, is that whole idea of, like, knowing how your process works. Like you said, you know that's mine. So I will schedule in my schedule, like, I will realize there's going to be a breakdown. And there's going to be like probably a few changes.
I'm going to schedule my
freak out. Yeah. I tell my students. So like anytime something is even more money, like I have to put something in a big program that's cost more and it makes me kind of stretch more, I will schedule in my freak out. I know
that's amazing.
Day before I'm going to have a freak out, then I'm going to be like, oh God, what am I doing this for, Bob? I'm going to burn it down. And you've heard me tell many times, like, we just got to burn this down. And then I get over it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I have the big girl moment and I'm like, okay, you had your freak out. Now we have to go back and get back to business.
Yeah.
So like that I know is going to happen. Now, and as much as I know that, you know, things are going to like go back and forth until I solidify. And so like...
Right.
The new branding and a new website, mm-hmm. we remember we made a big decision. And that's why I told you, I was like, I put money down.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like,
but
I'm not going
back. I think that's
back.
Like a huge thing. Like I did some similar things recently where I hired people, I committed to a large portion of money that I was putting into my mm-hmm. business to build it. And all of a sudden I was able to ramp up and like almost create the clarity that I had been waiting to, because I finally had money on the line mm-hmm. and I had a sense of urgency that wasn't there before, mm-hmm. which is huge.
And you have to give yourself deadlines.
Yeah.
Like you have to say, okay, make a decision by this day. If I just spent, you know, all the time waffling and didn't say, okay, by this day, you have to make a decision.
Yeah.
I would never get anything done. And you're right. And then I never know 100% if that's the right way to go, but we go and then we make it work and then you reassess later.
I have kind of an interesting creative question. Since you are an artist, can you like put your finger on how you would describe your creative process, both in life and building a business, within your artwork? And I'll give you an example. Because for me, my process with everything is like a collage. And I've clearly seen that throughout my life. Because with a collage, and I used to make them all the time, you have to get the foundation down mm-hmm, first. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you get kind of the big pieces and you work those mm-hmm. on top of the foundation. And then from there, you add the little like magical mm-hmm. details. And then maybe it's going to all come together, or maybe you're going to have to wipe it all away mm-hmm. and start over. But it's always about the foundation, the big elements, and then the details. And for me, like, that's my creative process in mm-hmm. an analogy. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if you had something like that with art. Like, is it paint? Is it ink? Is it, I don't know.
So I think in my own art process, one of the things that I know I'm really, like, what I do is I come to a blank page and I slap paint down, right? And that's kind of like that idea of like, I will come up with these big ideas. I come up with, you know, just something, you know? And then what always happens is then I'm always listening to myself. Like when I paint, it's all about like listening, like do this, do that, do this, do that. And I go fearlessly forward until I always hit a point where I get stuck.
Yes.
Always.
Always.
Always, always,
it's like an inevitable part, inevitable part of the process.
Totally. I always, always get stuck in a painting.
Yeah.
Always get stuck when I'm working. Like, and the stuck will be resistance or fear or self-doubt. And what I do in my paintings is I break up the energy.
How do you do that?
I break up the energy. So like in my paintings, what I always teach is like, I'll take a big, speaking of collage, I'll take a big piece of paper and then or I'll take paint and I'll scribble over something.
Yeah.
Or I'll scratch. I'll do something to break up that energy.
Uh-huh.
And I do that in my work.
Yeah.
I do that all the time. I'm like, okay, now I think we need to go in this direction.
Right.
So I will break up whatever energy it is.
This is fascinating.
It's
like,
totally.
I feel like if more people, especially entrepreneurs, could know what their creative process looks like in an artistic mm-hmm. sense, it would take the sting out of the freakouts.
Yes.
It would help you know that it's just part of the process. And it would also help you have a strategy like you do to just put something in there to kind of move you to the next phase.
And you know what? What's the best part too? Is it helps me not feel so crazy. So I had a really
good friend. That's a great thing.
Yeah, I had a really good friend say to me one day, she's like, Connie, you are a person who loves to build sandcastles. Like, I can build these amazing things. And then I'm like, you know what? That's nice. But, you know, maybe we should do something else.
Right.
You know? And I want to knock it down and do something else. But I'm still building sandcastles. Mm. I'm still using the same stuff. But that's part of my process. And it's not everybody is like that. Not every artist is like that.
So we've been talking about branding and how it's kind of taking you and me and us together 3 years to kind of get to where the decisions you've made recently. And I was just hoping you can kind of share the internal process that you went through, because right now you have a brand name, Dirty Footprint Studio, and you've had that for 10 years.
Yeah.
And you're working towards moving into the personal brand direction. Yeah. So can you just share a little bit about that process of, you know, why you're choosing to go with a personal brand and what are the decisions that kind of backed that up?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. So when I started Dirty Footprint Studio, I had no intention of it really being what it is now today, you know? And I actually didn't even start online. It started offline as a ceramics studio thing, which is kind of funny. So it didn't start...
I forgot about that, actually.
Yeah, it didn't start with all this intention and thought behind it. And then, as you know, because when we started to work together, I think I had already been... kind of in business for a couple years.
Yeah, you just had a blog.
I just had a blog, and I was somehow making retreats and stuff with just this blog,
which
you know?
Impressive.
Yeah, and so you came in and you helped kind of make it into something, right? And so at that time, it was just like, okay, what we have here, let's just turn it in. And so by now, I built something basically for most of that time, just kind of piecemealing it together, like trying things out. Like, does this work and does that not work? Which I think is really important as entrepreneurs.
Yeah, that experimentation.
Yeah, to figure out what, like, where your rhythm is and stuff. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs think they have to have it all figured out at the beginning, and you don't.
No,
it's like impossible. It's impossible, you know? And so I was lucky in the sense that I started out when the internet was more fresh a little bit, you know, to play around, and everybody was playing around. But you see now people think like they have to have all of this.
There has to be like a model they follow.
Yeah, yeah, but I think it's a little bit of throwing spaghetti on the wall for the first few years. Just trying to figure out, like, did that work? Did that stick? So I went through all of that. And then what's actually happened in the last few years is that I've kind of learned, like, what programs really still speak to me, what I really want to do. And I started to think, instead of, like, is this going to work? I started to actually think more long term, like, wow, I've had this going on for a while. I guess it's going to. You know, I want it to stay in my life.
Yeah.
You know? So another thing that happened is in my own interest, like, I started to really realize I want to make more art and focus a little bit more on my art making and how I present my art to the world, while all of my up until now has been focused on being more of a teacher and teaching. And so I still want to teach, but I really want to create a space where my art can be elevated a bit more. And so it didn't make sense anymore to have Dirty Footprint Studio.
Right.
Because it just, it doesn't fit. And so, like...
But I think it took a while to get there.
Oh, gosh, it took a long time.
Because I know we had conversations over a year ago, went back and forth with the brand name versus your name. And for a while, I was like, well, you know, people really resonate with Dirty Footprints. And this is something that they feel emotionally connected to. I'm not ready to let it go. But, like we were talking about at the beginning of this, about your purpose, about helping women step into their full expression as artists, I just think that's interesting how it's come full circle for you in this personal brand. Is you get to put yourself out there as the artist. You get to own your full expression. And in doing so, you're also helping other people do that, too.
Yeah, that's the scariest part. Like, I think that's the whole thing that has kept me, you know, resisting it. Because
do you think?
Yeah, I totally think so. I think this year especially is like really started to get my voice even stronger as an artist. It's almost like I couldn't hide behind being the teacher as much because that call to really make art. And it's also unnerving because I don't want to go the traditional route and do galleries. So I'm not quite sure what it's really going to look like.
Right.
So I know I want to focus more on the art portion when it comes to my brand. But what exactly that's going to look like is, once again, I feel like it's going to be throwing spaghetti for a while, you know, doing that. And still, what I'm lucky is I still have this wonderful business that's still going to be going on as usual with 21 Secrets and all those programs. But just shifting my focus. And so, like, as I said to you in our one meeting, that, you know, for me to do this is me stepping into myself as an artist and not kind of like... doing stuff to support the studio. Before it was Dirty Footprint Studio, and everything was kind of like focused on that, what that meant. And now it's like, well, what does it mean for me to be that artist?
But I think that purpose and that mission now is even more powerful because you're practicing what you've preached for so long.
I know.
You know, like you're finally saying, I've been telling you to get out of your own way and be creative and put yourself out there. And now you're fully stepping into that on your own. And I think that message becomes so much more powerful because you embody it yourself.
Yeah. And you know, what's funny is I bet a lot of people see on, from looking in from the outside, they might not see any difference other than now it says that, but I feel different. Like to me, I mean, I've always been an artist and been doing it, but for me, something internally had to shift.
Yeah.
And I had to go through, and I'll be honest with you, I think this last year has been kind of mourning and letting go of, like, you know, what could have been, what I did, like, you know, letting go of a huge part of my identity too. That's been kind of a challenge. And so, like, I always kind of want to retract back and be like, oh, you know, this, because it felt comfortable. This feels really uncomfortable.
Right. But I think that's powerful. And I think this is a common thread that I've been seeing and thinking about who is a purpose-driven entrepreneur, who isn't. And I think a lot of it comes from this idea of it's like intrinsically, I think that's the word, tied up with who we are. Like our business is a reflection of our values, of what kind of impact we want to make on the world. And we might be figuring that out as we're creating the business. So it's uncomfortable. It's scary. It's downright like just awful sometimes. But I think we keep coming back to this idea of we can make an impact and we can influence people. And that is more important than us being uncomfortable for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I also think it's a different season too. And I think I had to realize that.
Like, yeah.
You know, there was that season, now there's this season. And I think entrepreneurs, if they realize when they're going into that there's going to be different shifts, is really important.
And to honor those shifts as they come up and not, like, in our yoga teacher training, our teacher always said, it's more important how you are with how you are than how you are. You know, you have to be kind to yourself and not break your own heart by judging where you are right now. Just acknowledge it. Move on if you can and keep growing.
Yeah. So the last time when I was in Mexico teaching, that's when it really hit me. Like, because I was watching my students and I get to talk to them and help kind of like, you know, mentor them into being full expressions of themselves as artists. And I was watching and kind of witnessing a lot of the fear there. And I was like, oh my God, this is me. Like, this is me, me mentoring me through you, you know?
Yeah.
And so that process, and like I love what you said, because I had to kind of be kind of myself that it's scary, you know, and to change anything, you know, especially when it's attached to your livelihood, brings up a lot of self-doubt, and you gotta, as an entrepreneur, you have to learn to dance with that self-doubt. Like I don't think it ever goes away, you know, like you gotta kind of figure out that push and pull.
I don't think it goes away. I think you get better at knowing when it's coming and how to manage it when it's happening.
Yeah.
Because I talk with some clients, even in entrepreneurs who are newer, like in their first 2 to 3 years. And whereas they have a freak out that feels like they're going to have to give up. Like I've been there so many times now that I'm like, you will get through it or you won't. It's up to you. But just know that they're never going to stop coming, but you're going to be more aware of them. And then you can better respond and move through it quicker. Because you know you're in it when it's happening. Whereas in the beginning, you're like, what is this new thing in my life? And why am I scared of everything and crying all the time?
Yeah, absolutely. And then for me, what was also is like, I was kind of jarred by it, because it's like, I think too, when you start to move in a bigger expression of yourself too, it does get a little, you think you like, oh, I got all that self-doubt under control, and then you get a whammy, you know, and you're like, okay.
You just like hit a new level.
Yeah.
You're like Mario, like exceeding to the new phase.
Absolutely.
But let's talk about more of like the business side, because you've mentioned that, well, this is my livelihood as well. And it's scary to take risks when you could be losing money or you have to invest a lot of money. So what have you done, especially with like 21 Secrets, to keep the things that are profitable and keep the things that sustain you, but also fund the big creative risks that you take?
Well, I think, for myself personally, I think this has been part of the growth I've had to go through in these last 3 years is that starting my business, never imagining that it was going to become what it is today, I did everything.
Yeah.
You know, and up until I met you, I did all, you know, all the graphics and stuff.
Yeah.
I did everything. And I, when I say everything, I mean everything, including accounting and, you know, taxes, all that stuff, every little thing part of the business. And as the business grew, I was still doing everything. And it was in these last couple years that I really realized for the business to grow and for me to grow creatively as an artist and an entrepreneur, I need to bring new people in.
Yeah.
Like, I have to grow.
Take
I need support.
Yourself out of certain things.
I have to take myself out. I mean, I remember a few years ago having to get, like, somebody to do bookkeeping. It was such a, like, can I invest in this? And, like, I couldn't imagine my life without a bookkeeper. You know what I mean? Like, if I had to sit there and figure that stuff out, you know?
Yeah.
And just, you know, this year, what made me so happy is I got to invest more in you, you know? But if I had to do what you do for me, it would be like a mess, you know? And so bringing people in has been both unnerving, kind of scary. And like when I hire somebody, I want to really make sure that I know that the part of their livelihood depends on me. I want to make sure it's going to flow and that it's going to really, you know, be something sustainable for them too. Mm. So that I take that really, I don't make it just lightly, you know? So bringing in people this year, I started to build a team around 21 Secrets because I felt the only way I'm going to step into myself more fully as an artist is if I start to hand over and delegate some of the work that has created the support around me. And so there's been a big learning curve around that. Mm-hmm. And but on the other hand, it's been super fun to work with people and have new ideas and you know, have things get done in ways that I would have never thought of before. And so, like, I hired Tanya this year, who's the creative director. And, oh, my gosh, like, she came in and just like, why don't we do this and this? And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and you might not have ever seen that.
Never, ever would have thought of these things. And she's, like, totally elevated it incredibly.
Yeah.
You know? So that's been super exciting and fun. And it's brought more space to me creatively.
Yeah.
So I had to, I think, get support. And I think that's the biggest thing. And as an entrepreneur, it's... I don't know, at least for myself, it was very scary because, you know, just making that investment because you get used to doing it on your own. At least I did.
Well, and I think there's a sense of I don't want anyone to take my baby away.
Yeah, well, I forgot about that one too. Yeah, exactly. That took a lot.
I mean, I've been through that this year too. Mm-hmm. I hired an assistant, not even full time, but up to like 10 hours a week, and she's been great. Mm-hmm. But, you know, leading up to that, it was the point of no return, really, where I said to myself, I'm doing things I shouldn't be doing. And I know there's someone who could help me scale my business if I could just let go of some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I still catch myself, even though she's been with me since June, I still catch myself working on things. And I have to stop myself and say, Quinn, like, this is not worth your time. Yeah. And I don't mean to say that in a bad way.
No.
Like, but it's like I have to put myself in a position to do the things that will help my business grow.
Right.
And there's only certain things that I can do in that sense. And the other things I have to just let go. So I consistently have to gut check myself and say, and write a list in my notebook every week. Like, I did this, this, and this this week. I shouldn't have been doing this. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that also comes down to planning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, someone will ask me to do something and they need it within 2 days. Mm-hmm. And I will say yes. Or,
that's me.
or, but it's like, if I had a better plan and better schedule, I could be like, okay, I can get that to you by next Monday. And that means I can give it to my assistant to do. And then I have an extra day to review it. And so it's like planning as well as, but I could just get it done in 15 minutes.
Right.
You know, it's a little bit of a game of cat and mouse in my own brain of like, who should do it? And should it be me?
But you know what's so good? I'm glad you bring this up for your folks. But because as an entrepreneur, I think you need to have that where you do everything. You need those years of understanding how the mechanics of your business work.
Yeah.
And how you can't... I've had students that are like, oh, I got to get myself an assistant. I'm like, you don't even have a business and you're thinking of an assistant.
Oh, yeah.
And they want all the support, but they don't know anything about their business.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really important. But then at the same time, it's such a learning curve, like you're saying. It's like learning how I've hired a couple more people, right, since I hired Tanya. And I remember I was talking to one of them when I was in Mexico, and then like a week later, someone said, I was like, oh, shoot, I forgot to tell the other ones. Like, I'm like, now I have to learn, I have to communicate with more people. So I'm learning as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's, to me, it's kind of the fun part.
Yeah.
Like, now it's like really fun, where before it was just me just carrying everything.
Right.
You know,
so yeah,
that's a huge...
I think for me too, it's, and I know you like this about me, but you say it's not your way of doing things. Like, I love processes and organization, and I love them so much because they allow me to be creative and allow me to step back and look at the big picture, which when I'm too far in the minutiae and the details, like, I just get lost in them because I can do those all day. Like, I love it. But I know that that's not where I can best serve my business. So I've had to really focus on building out processes in my project management tool, which now you use as well, and getting it so it's almost a template that I can follow every single time. It doesn't mean I'm not creative. It doesn't mean that every single client is the same. It just means that I don't have to have as much guesswork of, like, what comes next.
Right.
And I also can start to look at where I can plug in my assistant. I can hire a developer. I can do all these different things to build support. And that will allow me to be kind of the CEO.
Yes. That's what you taught me. And I mean, using Asana has been life-changing. It's taken me kind of a year
to, like, it's a
fall
lot of
in
work.
Love with it.
Yeah.
But now I like to even use it for my personal life.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I like to put the little sections.
Do you assign your husband tasks?
No.
I do.
Oh, gosh, that would be that would not go well. But
Yeah, it didn't go well, but it went well for me.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. No, but I totally, like, I put everything on there, and I love to get the little, every morning I look at my little phone and have all the notifications and know
but
what.
I think this is huge, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs just say, oh, well, I'll figure it out along the way. I'm good at this. I know how to run my business. But I just see so many people get in their own way because they don't know what comes next. They don't plan ahead. And especially when it comes to marketing, like, that is such a huge component of successfully putting yourself out there on social, on blog, on email, is planning ahead so all the dots are connected.
Absolutely.
So you're not just throwing things out there and someone gets this message, someone gets that message. Like, there really has to be a clear strategy behind it. Otherwise, it just will fall flat.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm absolutely with you. And like, I'm always thinking at least 2 years ahead. And I mean, with 21
Actually, you
Secrets,
do that.
Yeah,
you do plan really
I do.
Far out.
I just don't have the tools until you've kind of introduced me. I don't have all the fancy awesome. But now I'm starting to do that. I mean, but you're passionate about that stuff, you know? Like, I do it and I go, I'm done with my day. You go on Instagram and talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
You love it so much. And so that's what I think
I love it so much because I think it can help so many people.
Yeah.
And it just pains me when I find out there's a client or an entrepreneur I know who's so stressed out and so burnt out because they just haven't been able to pull a plan together.
Yeah.
And then they're sitting there wondering when their next paycheck is coming. I'm like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's part of the lesson that you have to learn along the journey anyway. But I just know that there's some very simple things people can do to kind of get through that.
Absolutely. And I work with mostly artists, and there's always so much resistance. Like, artists will come and tell me, I'm not organized. And I'm like, well...
Yeah, you say that.
Yeah. At one time when I was younger, felt I wasn't organized, and I had to learn. You have to learn how to become organized, and I feel the benefits of learning and changing that story about yourself is so much better than going through, and I'm not organized, and then you waste all your time, you know, on things that don't... It could be done much more simpler.
Yeah.
And so I totally get that.
So I guess to kind of wrap this up, I have a question, a big question of, you know, this idea of purpose-driven entrepreneurship, of someone bringing all their life experiences together like you have, understanding who they can uniquely impact and who they want to serve, like the women you serve. You know, is there any kind of insight or tip or action step that you would kind of give to this person if they were sitting here with us of, like, how they can build more purpose into their business? I know it was a big question.
That's a big question. So. But, okay, so there's maybe, like, not just one. Can I touch a couple?
Oh, yeah.
So one of the first things that come to mind, believe it or not, is to stop looking at what other people do. I don't know why that's the first thing that kind of came to mind.
Yeah.
For I think... It's easy to see other people that are successful and kind of want to, like, lean towards whatever they're doing or that.
Yeah.
And I found for myself that the more purpose-driven, as like you say, I become, the less a concern I am with what's happening in my market or, like, my colleagues. And not that I don't love the people that I'm lucky to be peers with, but I really have to put up blinders, and especially as an artist, I tell, you know, I was kind of blessed to go to art school at a time where there wasn't the internet. You couldn't go in your pajamas and look at other people's art. You had to, like, you know, find an artist and give them beer and go to their studio or something. You know what I mean? So, like, it's really a different world where we have to put up some barriers sometimes.
Right.
Because it's so easy to compare, right?
Yeah, well, and with the internet, it's so accessible now.
Yeah.
I do think I would just flip it, though. Like, I agree. Mm-hmm. But then I also say it's a mindset shift that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. Because you can look at others. Like, I read this book. It said, envy is inspiration in disguise. Mm-hmm. So, if you can look at someone without attaching yourself to what they're doing and comparing, but look at them almost like a scientific, like, experiment and be like, hey, what are they doing? Like, what are those key things I can pull out? And then how does that relate to me? And then use that as inspiration versus comparison.
Yes.
I think, because there's just so many entrepreneurs, especially, like, honestly, in web design. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many websites I've gone to of web designers that have marble desks with, like, pink paper clips as, like, their photos. I'm like, literally everyone looks the same.
Yeah.
I was like, what is the thing that differentiates you? And as long as you're, you know, looking at the other people, but not in the the way that it becomes a detriment, then I think it can be helpful.
No, I agree. I absolutely agree. And I think that's, you put it perfectly. And I do, and I love that you said about envy.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that recently of somebody I was envious of.
But that's perfect. Because as soon as you feel that, you can be like, what is it that I'm envious
of? What am I really like?
Is it their audience? Yeah. Is it their positioning? Is it their colors? Mm-hmm. You know, like,
exactly,
what is it?
Exactly. So I use that too. As a way of, like, guidance as well. But I guess what I don't do is, like, oversaturate myself. And I'm thinking a lot of my students sometimes, especially when it comes to art, oversaturate themselves and then they're lost because they're just taking everything else in.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. The second thing, and what you said is, I couldn't have said it better. I didn't say it. Then the second thing I was also thinking is that I think it's really important to step back, like I said at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to give yourself, twice a year, no matter what, I go to Sedona by myself for a few days. And it's really for my business. And I will do kind of like you, I mind map. I bring huge things of paper and I just mind map the crap out of my ideas, you know? Mind map. And then go, you know, go have a nice drink somewhere and chill out. But do all of this stuff where I'm alone, just me and my business. And I've been doing that since I started my business and I was a full-time teacher. Because I used to take off, like, when I was a full-time teacher, I used to schedule my days off and do that for my business that I was trying to build on the side.
Wow.
So I've always done that. And no matter where it was, even if I couldn't afford it, I would figure out a way to afford that time.
That's so powerful. I think so many of us, we work in our business all the time, but we don't work on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think cultivating and carving out time just devoted to that, even if it means you're going to yoga and you're doing these things, but, like, you're just holding that in your mind over the course of a couple of days, and you just never know what's going to come up out of those sessions.
Yeah.
Like, I think I did that. I went to Tucson and I ended up coming up with the whole idea of purpose, of this create your purpose, purpose-driven entrepreneurship. Like, that wasn't a thing a year ago.
Yeah.
And that just all came from me stepping back, thinking about what is the big picture of my business. And then basically from there, it was full steam ahead of like, okay, I did the thinking, I had the clarity. Now what can I build to bring this to life?
Yeah. And for me too, being in business is being in relationship with something.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, you have to take that time to go nurture that relationship. Like, in my normal life, it fits in with my family, with self-care, with French, you know, all of that. It's just like another thing that you need to go take it on a date or a vacation. You know what I mean?
I like that. Take your business on a date.
Exactly.
So romance it a little.
Yeah. And I think for myself too, the last and final tidbit I would say is to really take care of yourself too and all of that. And I found this last year, what has helped me give me the most clarity is actually investing in my own health. You know, like, I started working with a trainer and changing my diet and actually giving myself a cutoff. Like, I'm not going to allow my business take up all of my life.
Right. It's so easy to do.
Oh, it's especially when you love it.
Yeah.
You know, when you love it, you just want to do it all the time.
Right.
But it's also not so sustainable health-wise for myself. It wasn't. And so this year I made that conscious decision that my health was going to be number one priority. And that shifted things in my business, and it shifted the way I looked at it. And it helped me bring more purpose to my business because I could be strong in myself, if that makes sense. You know, like, I could be more clear. I could be more present than just kind of like going. And I don't know how to explain it that much, but I feel that gave the most purpose to my business by shifting the way I handle myself.
No, I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
Mainly because that's exactly the reason I started my business, was because I was so bad at that.
Yeah.
Like, I was working in LA. I burnt out so badly that I ended up in the hospital because I never took the time to take care of myself or ask myself the big questions of what is my purpose? You know, what kind of impact do I want to make? How do I want to make that impact? Like, I just never even thought about it. And so that's been the core motivating factor of why I started my business in the first place. So it's a constant check and balance, though, of like, you know, even recently I was so busy launching my website that I had to intentionally not go to yoga. I had to intentionally like do some things I wouldn't normally do, but it was because I had a specific purpose I needed to fulfill.
Right.
So like in that sense, I hustled with intention, whereas 7 years ago I hustled with
like desperation.
Yeah, it was desperation and ignorance.
Yeah.
And so I think that especially with purpose-driven entrepreneurs, of people who want to bring their experiences to life through their business to impact people, like you are the vehicle for that. And if you're not taking care of yourself in physically, mentally, in all ways, then you can't be the best expression of that purpose.
That has been the biggest lesson I learned of 10 years of being in business for myself. And it took me 10 years to finally like really look at it and go, this is not going to last another 10 years if I don't, you know, step it up. Like, and I felt this year was the biggest step up like in my business, but all I was stepping up was my self-care, you know, and it really impacted everything
everywhere.
Yeah, it totally did. And, so I think those three things is like kind of just maybe like the first part, like kind of build a cocoon for yourself, not always taking in stuff. But if you do listen to Quinn's fabulous wisdom, do it with intention and be aware, like not self-judging, like you said, like if you feel jealous or you feel envy, that's usually pointing you somewhere.
I always feel like those feelings, those emotions as an entrepreneur, they're just little clues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're clues that point us towards growth as long as we know how to approach them that way. If we approach them with, you know, imploding in on ourselves and judging, then they won't help us go anywhere but down.
So. Yeah, I think too, just, I know we're kind of going over our
That's part, okay.
is that I think with that part too, what I was trying to also say is that sometimes when we're just starting, we see other people that are successful and we kind of want to copy that. And I think that's where you can get caught in the loop. And for myself, like what I tell my mentees a lot of times is like, I know you're going to go out there and kind of copy like what, you know, I'm training you. So you're going to kind of take that, but take it with like a grain of salt, you know, take, like you said, like the essence of what you like about, like maybe they host retreats. So like, but you don't have to do it like the other people because it will never come across as authentic.
Right.
You know? And so when I think you get obsessed with other way, or not obsessed, but thinking that's the right way, you know? And then the second one was really like taking time away. Isn't it funny? It's like take time away and have a relationship with your business.
Yeah.
And then the third one is have a relationship with yourself and forget the business. So,
but it's all connected.
Welcome to being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, welcome.
It's nothing but like back and forth.
Yeah.
So.
But that's what makes it fulfilling, I feel like. Well, I think we should wrap up here because otherwise we will talk all day. Maybe we'll come back with the Quinn and Connie show at some point.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
But
let me think about it for a year.
Yeah. And then change your mind 10 times. Yeah, it's okay. But you know, we were talking about creativity and just like being creative for creative's sake as well. Mm-hmm. And I think this series of doing these like crazy videos is my weird creative thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just very curious about this idea of purpose-driven entrepreneurship. And I started seeing all these people in my life, all these clients, entrepreneurs I know that I felt like they were really driven by something deeper. Mm. So I just wanted to have candid conversations. I have no idea who's going to watch this. Mm-hmm. I think we'll watch it because mm-hmm. we love each other.
Yeah.
But I just want to thank you for being here. And for anyone who's watching, I hope you got some good tidbits and good gems from Connie here.
Well, thank you. And I just want to say that I absolutely love working with you, Quinn. You have been the wonderful, like, big force in my business. I could never do it without you. And this year has been so great because I've had this dream for so long. And I always used to say to Quinn, I wish you could be on my payroll. Like, I wish you were just my in-house design gal and, like, for nobody else but me.
Yeah.
But she will never live up. She's always going to do her own thing like this.
No, I'm unemployable, remember?
Yeah, exactly. But I just want to say, you're the real deal.
Thanks.
And that means a lot. Like, and I've just... The thing I love about Quinn, and I know she wanted me to wrap up, but the thing I love working about Quinn is not only does she create this space for you to, reveal your creative process, but you're so intuitive. Like, you can pick up and you create these things that just really empower people. By working with Quinn and your process, you have empowered me. Like, I write Quinn these little notes at night, and I'm like, I just learned this about myself because of something you said on Instagram, you know? And so I really want you to see for yourself, too.
Uh-oh.
And your loving, amazing fans out there that...
Thank you.
I highly recommend you.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Testimonial, everyone. that was unsolicited.
Exactly. And come back for Connie and Quinn's next episode.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Quinn.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
4
Yeah.
Wait,
well, I didn't expect you to shake shake the tatas.
What else am I going to shake with my hair?
I was thinking you're going to do a little of this.
It's hyping. We're hyping ourselves. We don't have a hype man, so.
A hype man? Oh. What's a hype man?
I don't know. I think it's a thing.
Is that something like an influencer?
It's one of those new things that kids all love.
Well, I'm Connie Solera.
Nice to meet you. Sorry. Okay. Go ahead.
Should we start again?
Should we?